We're going to have to leave it there. I want to thank both of you for joining us. Yep. You've both made history, Misty Snow in Utah and Misty Plowright in Colorado, the first openly trans women to win their party's nomination for the race in November. That does it for the show. Tune in Monday for our July 4th special when we feature the words of Frederick Douglass and Saul Williams and Jesse Williams. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn. And now it's time for our public affairs show here on WHFR.FM, the station making waves. And we call it the new WHFR Journal. Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. This is Jay Koronick with you, station advisor here at WHFR.FM. Henry Ford College is our location, and our station is licensed to Henry Ford College, independent, non-commercial programming you can't get anywhere else on your dial in the Detroit area, or for that matter, even anywhere around the world. That's absolutely true, and John's going to agree with me. John Conroy is here, our WHFR news director. Welcome again, John. Happy Independence Day.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jay. Happy Independence Day to our listeners as well.
And certainly, that, of course, doesn't technically come up until next Monday, but today is Canada Day. I think you reminded me about that. And so happy Canada Day to our listeners in Canada. And I think we should all understand they're not celebrating the same holiday we are. It's for them, okay, not for us. But, you know, there was the big fireworks display that they sort of shared the cost in the river, I think, because that display was for, since they're on the other side of the river, you know, they took that as part of the celebration of Canada Day, too. And of course, it was... It's usually always earlier than both Canada Day and the 4th of July. And one reason for that is that people start leaving around here on the Wednesday before. It's pretty empty here. Of course, Henry Ford College is closed in terms of the college, basic college operations on Fridays. There are maintenance people here doing work today. And because when the students aren't around, they can get some stuff done in the classrooms and clean some things up, polish some floors and so on. Administration is generally here on Fridays too, as are the people in our Welcome Center. That's a building just north of our north parking lot here on the main campus, 5101 Evergreen. And they're actually enrolling students for the fall semester now. Summer semester just started this week, so it's too late for that. But fall semester starts on the 25th. Of this month, and so plan ahead if you want some sort of life enrichment, or you want to continue working towards a degree or a new area of study. The best classes are always most available in terms of days and times if you choose right away, just saying. And so Henry Ford College information, the website, it's all up and running today. The website is hfcc.edu. Almost going to mention our own website. Okay, well, in the top news today, I will just start with the sad story about which you may have heard if you follow. It probably was on some national, some news media in Detroit, too, because obviously anytime a elected representative to the state of Michigan dies suddenly, it's very unfortunate. Anybody has to die, I think. But we've lost State Representative Plawecki from the Dearborn Heights area, Julie Plawecki. And there was, I was looking for stories about her and exactly what happened. And the best one is, again, the best story written in the local papers. Again, the award goes to the Arab American News. Although they did wait a while, this didn't appear on their website until last Wednesday, the 29th of June. So they got to include some more information than what some of the other papers did that put their first story on the website last Saturday, when it was her death was announced first by David Kinesic. So here's the story from the Arab American News, which will probably be in their printed edition that comes out tomorrow. At least I think it does, in spite of the weekend coming up. It's usually distributed around to the center in Dearborn and other places for free. Here's their story. Local community is grieving over the untimely death of State Representative Julie Plawecki, 54 years old. And as John was mentioning to me, certainly a tragedy, died very young compared to myself, for example. And I always think that's a particular tragedy if someone younger than I dies because I could be next. You know, it's not nice to have people younger than any of you die. But anyway, she died on Saturday, June 25th, from a presumed heart attack while she was hiking with her daughter in Oregon. There's no information, by the way, anywhere in the story, in case inquiring minds want to know, that she had any ongoing health issues. But it's certainly true that at any age, younger or older, even if you go to the doctor every year or every 6 months, sometimes a heart problem, a terrible heart problem, happens all of a sudden, just like a stroke can happen all of a sudden without and necessarily any other major signs that are they're normally able to be diagnosed. So it's very sad. I'm sure her daughter was quite upset being there. Julie Plawecki was serving her first term in Michigan's 11th District, which covers portions of Dearborn Heights, Livonia, Westland, and all of Inkster and Garden City. Again, one of those gerrymandered districts where there's a little bit of Dearborn Heights, but not all of Dearborn Heights. Apparently a little bit of Livonia, not all of Livonia, a little bit of Westland, not all of Westland, but all of Inkster and Garden City, though, was her area that she represented. She was hailed as an activist and dedicated public leader by both Democratic and Republican legislators and others who knew her. So that's bipartisan support. Although that's when someone dies, not too many people are going to carp, I guess. She served on two House committees, even in her first term. Probably wasn't a chairperson yet, but Energy Committee and also Natural Resources. Prior to serving in the Michigan House, Plawecki was already widely known in the community. She was a medical technologist and a teacher of science, math, and religion at the elementary and secondary levels. So what schools? Is it Dearborn Heights where they're teaching a religion class? Or was it a parochial school?
I don't know.
So we don't know that right now. Maybe it'll come up here. Okay, I didn't read it real well, but here. It's a great story. Anyway, prior to serving, she had that background. Her bachelor's degree was from Oakland University. Yay! That's my alma mater, undergraduate alma mater. And her professional, who's that? Who else? Was it Paul Sophia who was here?
Yep, Paul Sophia.
He went to Oakland.
He did too.
Yeah. And her professional teaching certificate from the University of Michigan, Dearborn. Mentioned Paul in a few minutes. He was on our show last week.
Yep.
And you can listen to the podcast at WHFR.fm. Click on WHFR Journal. Click on Talk Shows and then click on WHFR Journal and then click on the date for last Friday, 6/24, I believe. Julie Plawecki was the wife of 20th District Court Judge Mark Plawecki. Together they had three daughters, Rachel, Lauren, and Monica. State Senator David Kinesic, Dearborn Democrat from Dearborn Heights, issued a statement on his Facebook page mourning her loss. It seems that Senator Kinesic, who we're going to interview in 2 weeks at the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market, he's going to be a guest for about 10 or 15 minutes on that show. Yes, we're going to be doing it live at the Dearborn Farmers and Artists Market, Bryant Library, in just 2 weeks from today. So get ready for fun in the sun or fun in the rain or whatever it is. We'll be at the HFC tent, and John and I, John, you won't be here.
You're going to be
there. Darn, he's
going to
miss it.
I'll be thinking of you, Jay.
Yeah, we didn't, it was sort of chosen for us by the local area chamber of commerce, and they had a lot of special guests that were coming that day that they wanted us to get on the air. So Susan McGraw will be helping me, I understand.
Oh, very good. Bringing in the big guns.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, got to go to the top. Uh-huh.
Well, come early to that farmer's market if you want to have good choice of all the unbelievable goodies they have.
Yeah, we'll be starting to set up, and we'll be doing live broadcast back during the Big Band and Beyond show starting at 10, but we'll be there physically setting up in the HFC tent area, and we'll have stuff to hand out. I'm not sure what, but information, our last newsletter, and so on, and I'll be glad to talk to you. So we'll have a number of our staff members there, and come on by and say hello, although not during 1 to 2 o'clock when we have the show, because we'll be busy talking like crazy. But we'll talk more about that, of course, before we, either later today or next week. Okay. Anyway, David Kinesic, Senator David Kinesic, seems to be selected as the go-to Democrat to work with the media in Michigan. So many issues, from the Orlando shooting in Florida to education issues in the state of Michigan and whatever. Somehow his name came up, and he got the rubber stamp from the Democratic Party because everything. He's the one. Now, it's quite appropriate in this case with Julie Plawecki. They're both representing the same sort of area, Dearborn Heights and the surrounding community. And so certainly he would probably was a very close friend, of course, of both of the whole Plawecki family. But nonetheless, he issued a statement. Julie was just a great woman. That's all there is to it. Well, that's great. But he went on. She, you know, politicians, they say that's all there is to it. But then they keep talking. She was whip smart. She had a heart of gold. She was a bulldog on issues she cared about. She was a bulldog on issues you cared about, too. She was the epitome of class, so a classy bulldog. A lot of people don't consider that contradiction in terms, but most bulldogs are actually very nice dogs. Right, John? It just I know they have a bad rep. But also a Democrat from Kalamazoo, John Hoadley, said in a Facebook post that he got to know Plawecki during the time they spent together on the House floor. He said her energy and commitment meant that she showed up for you, so you wanted to show up for her. In other words, to be part of whatever effort they were making to pass a bill to get a vote together and so on. He said she would literally drive across the state to show up at a tour because one of her friends in the legislature on either side of the aisle was arranging it. She remembered birthdays and major events she cared. Governor Snyder issued a statement stating that Plawecki's passing has devastated both parties in the House. He said Representative Plawecki's passing is a shock to us all, and Michigan has lost a fine and dedicated public servant. Wayne County Executive Warren Evans also had similar comments. So it's a great story. I can't read all of it, but wanted to mention that she was widely known for her humanitarian work. She often dedicated her time and services to Project Dignity Outreach. That's Project Dignity Outreach, a local community organization that feeds the homeless in Detroit. And going along with the Arab American newspaper story, Arab American news story, there's some pictures. One big one, in fact, at the top of the story, showing her helping to serve the food along with other volunteers. And it says here, on Sunday afternoons, a nonprofit group gathers on 3rd Street to pass out warm meals to poverty-stricken groups donated by community members. But on Sunday, June 26th, last Sunday, less than 24 hours after Plawecki's passing, members of Project Dignity Outreach were feeling her absence. President Naeed Ayoub, that's N-A-H-I-D, last name A-Y-O-U-B, said today's picnic was tough for many as we are grieving the loss of a very dear friend and supporter of Project Dignity Outreach. She was a kind soul who meant so much to so many. She was a humanitarian who touched the lives of others with her generous heart, and I'm thankful I had the chance to know someone like her. We all come together every Sunday to do what we can for those who need help and bond in the process. Many bonded so easily with Julie, as she was just such a warm and caring woman. Interesting mention here, too. Brian Stone, who is a state representative candidate for the 15th District, and we'll be interviewing him on the 15th of July at the market. along with David Kinesic, but we'll be giving Brian Stone his 30 minutes of fame on WHFR. He's running as a Democrat, so he's in the Democratic primary of August 2nd, primary election. But Brian Stone frequently participated with Plawecki on Project Dignity's Sunday gatherings, and he said the organization plans to hold a homeless feeding in Plawecki's honor on an upcoming date. Quote, it's the best way we can think of to honor the memory of an angelic human being who touched the lives of so many, Stone said. And she was running unopposed in the August 2nd primary for re-election to her seat, so there was no Republican, and I assume no, because in primaries you don't, you're not actually allowed to have a Libertarian or a Green Party or any other party represented. So the Republicans didn't even want to challenge her. I guess she was that well-liked, even and respected, even by Republicans. Or, you know, and of course the Plawecki family, along with her husband Mark, who is now serving as 20th District Judge. I think he was representative before her, too. He's done a lot of other elected positions. Mm-hmm. And maybe even his family or his father or someone. I just, being here in Dearborn, we're so far away. I just know the Plawecki name has been out there for decades in the Dearborn Heights area of good public servants. And so, of course, we express our sorrow and sympathy to Mark Plawecki and his family. So, but what is going to happen? Politically, you ask, well, she was going to be... she's unopposed, but then that means in November, she with one vote, she's going to get elected to another term. She would have. Okay. In this situation, though, just so you know, this is what happens because we're past the deadline of filing petitions.
Right.
Okay. So the Republicans can't all of a sudden jump in there with another candidate since it's kind of wide open now. But Democratic precinct delegates get permission now to legally select three candidates to fill her vacancy on the ballot. So they'll be creating a mini primary of three candidates that have the approval of the Democratic caucus in that area. Okay. And in fact, it's not in this story, but I do turn, thank you, Pressing Guide, and here's why you need to read more than one paper, even if it's local information. There is a separate story from today, from this morning, by Andrea Blum in the Press and Guide about this. And they're going to be Democratic precinct delegates representing the state's 11th House District will meet precinct delegates. So you have to be part of the Democratic Party, and you have to be an elected precinct delegate, but you can meet at 6 p.m. July 7th at Westland City Hall. So that's a call out to... those delegates, because their purpose is to elect three delegates to choose a Democratic candidate to replace Plawecki. And then, of course, the winner of the August 2nd primary will be the Democrat. They'll be on the ballot in November, again, unopposed. So pretty easy way to get elected there. Do you even have to campaign much? I mean...
shouldn't have to.
I mean, you want to go around and shake some hands because you're going to be the one elected. So you want to, you know, let your people know you. Yeah.
Constituents are.
Mm-hmm. So registered qualified voters residing in the district who would like to be considered for the office can submit a letter of interest and resume to a Jonathan Kinlock. This is in the pressandguide.com website, the story. He's chairman of the 13th Congressional District Democratic Party. And they also give his email. They give his street address. Which I guess is the Democratic Party office because it's 600 West Lafayette in Detroit. That's got to be a Democratic headquarters.
Got to be the general
something.
Office, I think.
Right. Yeah. Well, anyway, all that information is there. But it looks like you have to be a registered qualified voter. You don't necessarily have to be a member of the Democratic Party. Obviously, you'd be running as a Democrat, and I think at that meeting, they'll say, well, is this person going to be a faithful Democrat, or are they just... you know, taking advantage of the situation because they want to pick people, of course, that they have a little bit of control over as a party, similar thoughts, similar feelings. That's probably their primary criteria, as well as qualifications. But, of course, this person is going to get elected even if it's their first time running for anything.
Yeah.
It's just in the primary. They'll have a little competition with the other two choices. They'll have to win among those three names there. But just so you know, that's how politically it's going to work. And I would assume you have to, it says registered qualified voters, but yeah, residing in that district. So again, that is the 11th House District, and it's Olive Garden City and Inkster and little bits of Dearborn Heights and a couple of other places. So, but if you're living in that area and Julie Plawecki was your representative, if you'd like to run, you run as a Democrat, and you have to get selected by the party by next Wednesday, July 7th. It doesn't say the deadline to apply. Oh my goodness. It says interviews will not be held.
Oh no.
The Democratic Party is not going to do interviews. They just want you to say you want to be considered. Oh, and you have to send a resume too. So just say, consider me, here's my background. So a piece of paper.
And that deadline is July 7th, you said?
5 p.m. July 5th.
Oh, 5th, okay.
So their meeting's not until July 7th, but I guess they had to do the agenda and...
So that's Tuesday.
...distribute all the resumes to all the people that attend. You know, they have to have some things printed up, so that's why... Yeah, Tuesday at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting, because it only went out July 1st on the Press and Guide website.
Just before the whole holiday weekend
yeah,
started.
It may be in the paper on Sunday, but how many people are going to find out about this except Democrats? Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, those that want to know will find out. Those that want to do
right.
something about it will find
yeah.
out. You know?
Yep. And the thing I'm still puzzled about is that Mark Plawecki, who is the 20th district judge there, he was thinking of running up until about 3 months ago for Michigan Supreme Court. You know, because he does have such a big name and good reputation in this Detroit area, so a lot of voters probably vote for him, and maybe he could be another Democrat rather than all those, yes, they're nonpartisan, I know, but effectively Republicans on our state Supreme Court. There's not much balance there. And but he decided for some reason not to run. And for a while in the back of my head, I was thinking, well, is that because his wife had a problem health-wise, that he wanted to stay closer to home? Because although if he was elected to Lansing, to Supreme Court, mm-hmm. And Julie Plawecki, his wife, if she was still alive, they could have shared the car on the way to Lansing, you know, a couple times a week, you know, and tried to coordinate that. So a little carpooling would have been possible there. But of course, 20th District Judge, he stays in the local area, wherever they're court is located, out there in Dearborn Heights probably somewhere. So I don't know why he I mean, what other Democrat with a equally big name is going to run for the Supreme Court? I don't know.
No.
We don't know yet. Although I bet I could look that up somehow. And how do you look things up, folks, in any election coming up? The easy way is to get to a computer, okay, and you go to this website, Vote 411. 411 is kind of a telephone thing. That's how it started. Isn't that sort of an information number?
Yep.
If you for local information about events, it's a bunch of pre-recorded messages, I think. But in this case, if you want information on the election coming up, you go to vote 411, no space there, vote411.org. And then check the August 2nd primary, and you'll see who's running for that. But some of these positions, you know, I do know there's going to be a bunch of judges on the primary ballot, too. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if there's a primary contest among Supreme Court judges, though. I don't know that.
Yeah, I don't either.
I've gotten nothing in the mail about that. So, but it's very important to find out, certainly before you go in the voting booth, what's going to be there. So the League of Women Voters online voter guide is vote411.org. Okay, so again, that's the story about the untimely passing of Julie Plawecki. Okay. And by the way, although it's kind of hard to tell why flags, American flags and Michigan and U.S. flags are flying at half-mast, because it seems like they always are, because of deaths in one war or the other that were in a war that were somewhere in the world. still involved in. But Governor Snyder has ordered U.S. and Michigan flags within the Capitol complex and the 11th District of the House of Representatives, oh, not statewide, to be lowered to half-staff on July 2nd in order to the state rep. Well, if they're already half-staff because of the deaths in the Middle East, does that make it a quarter-staff? It's a bad joke, but wondering. I mean, and of course, I made the terrible insight is that it's been so long since I've ever seen. I usually coming into the college, I drive past the main post office in Dearborn, where they have a big flag, you know, flag staff and so on. There, I can't remember the last time the flag was all the way up.
Really?
Every day I pass, it's at half staff. Now maybe they just forget to ever put it further up. They don't check, but I assume they check. Well, there's somebody else that died in the Middle East and. So my joke was, or my ironic comment was, why don't, since they never put it all the way up, just cut the flagstaff off halfway up, and then it'll look like it's all the way up, but in fact, it's still halfway up from what, well, anyway.
I don't know, Jay, anywhere
it's just so sad, and a lot of people talk about patriotism, our country always has to have somebody dying. With Julie Plawecki, that's an accident. That's unfortunate, natural. Other than that, I just hate to see all those deaths happening that basically our country has organized, and we put our soldiers into harm's way. Yes, doing supposedly something for our country, but it's still, shouldn't have to happen that way. Okay.
But if you go traveling around this entire area this weekend, particularly at libraries and city-type functions, you'll see many, many flags at full staff.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, let's try to lighten things up a little bit here at the new WHFR Journal. Here is, and I know it takes a few minutes here, but one of the great comedians for radio, audio-based usually. He had some early TV shows in the 1950s. In fact, he first created the hand puppet that Jim Henson then modeled Kermit the Frog on. In fact, they did have, although they finally loved each other before Henson died, they made up and made friends. But Henson appropriated the look for his hand puppets like Kermit, the one that became Kermit. And it was actually Stan Freberg that started the sock puppet thing on TV. And so Freberg had to sue Henson when Henson started making a lot of money on Kermit.
Yeah.
He won, or they settled out of court. He still won, but out of court. But and I talked to Stan Freberg before he died about 6 or 7 years ago when he came to Michigan. He was in Lansing for a while at a convention there, and I always loved his humor. Well, here is a 4th of July comedy skit that he put in an album that he released back in the 50s, okay? And it was all about his historic moments of the United States of America. Stan Freberg presents the USA Volume 1. There was a volume two also. So here is, because even back in the 50s, they used to do singles. So he used to release some of these 3, 4, 5 minute bits on a 45. And they actually became popular. In the top 40 or whatever sometimes for some of them. And so DJs were not just playing music. They sometimes played, of course, instrumental music and vocal music. But they also played some Stan Freberg comedy sketches because they were released on singles on 45s and they were popular, and so they had to put them in their rotation. Well, here is one, and it's historically not accurate at all, but have fun with it, and let's lighten up journal hour here. This is entitled The Declaration of Independence, and again, the creative voice of Ben Franklin is actually the one of the many voices of Stan Freberg himself.
The trouble continued to brew. It was a time for action and a time for words. On a hot July night in 1776, Benjamin Franklin was aroused from his work by the call of destiny.
Hey, in there, Ben? Who's that, Sylvia?
It's the call of destiny.
Come on, take a look through the curtains there.
It's Tom Jefferson.
What, again? Well, it's no good. I'll have to let him in. I'm coming.
Hi, Ben.
Tom?
You got a minute?
Well, I tell you the truth, we were just going out of town for the weekend.
But it's only Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, you know, a penny saved is a penny earned.
What does that got to do with anything, Franklin?
I don't know. It's the first thing came into my head. I was just making conversation. An idle brain is the devil's playground, you know.
So you're pretty good at that, aren't
you? Yeah, there's some new wise sayings I just made up.
Wise sayings?
I call them wise sayings. Mm-hmm. Well, what can I do for you?
Well, I got this petition here. I've been circulating around the neighborhood. Kind of thought you'd like to sign it. It's called the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, I heard about that. Sounds a little suspect, if you ask me.
What do you mean, suspect?
Well, you're advocating the overthrow of the British government by force and violence, aren't you?
Well, yeah, but we've had it with that royal jazz.
Who's we?
Well, all the guys.
Who's all the guys?
Oh, George, Jim Madison, Alex Hamilton, Johnny Adams, you know, all the guys.
The lunatic fringe.
Oh, they are not.
Bunch of wild-eyed radicals. Professional liberals, don't kid me.
Oh, you call George Washington a wild-eyed radical?
Washington? I don't see his name on there.
No, but he promised to sign it.
Oh, yeah, that's George for you. Talks up a storm with them wooden teeth. Can't shut him off. When it comes time to put the name on the old parchment O'Rooney, try and find him.
Hey, what are you so surly about today?
Surly to bed and surly to rise. Oh, makes
all right,
a man
all right. Let's knock off the one-line jokes and sign the petition. What do you say, huh, fella?
Well, let me skim down it here. When in the course of human events, so-and-so, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
That's pursuit of happiness.
Well, all your S's look like F's here.
Oh, it's stylish.
Oh, I see.
It's in. It's very in.
Oh, well, if it's in. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, so-and-so, solemnly publish and declare that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British crown, and so on. A little overboard, isn't it?
Well,
you write this?
Yeah, I knocked it out. It's just a first draft, you know.
Well, I tell you, why don't you leave it with me and I'll mail it in, huh?
Oh, come on.
No, I tell you, Tom, let me say this. I'm with you in spirit. I'm sure you understand that, but, you know, I got to play it conservative. I'm a businessman.
Yeah.
I got the printing business going pretty good. Almanac made Book of the Month. And then I got the inventions, you know. Got pretty good distribution on the stoves now. And, of course, every Saturday evening, I bring out the mag.
The what?
Magazine.
Oh. Oh, that reminds me, that artist I sent by. Did you look at his stuff?
You mean the Rockwell boy? Skinny kid with the pipe?
Yeah, that's a kid.
Yeah, I glanced at it. And he's too far out for me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know you got to play it safe.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But getting back to the signing of the petition, how about it, huh?
Well,
it's a harmless paper.
Oh, sure, harmless. I know how these things happen. You go to a couple of harmless parties, sign a harmless petition, and forget all about it. 10 years later, you get hauled up before a committee. No, thank you. I'm not going to spend the rest of my life writing in Europe.
Oh, come on.
Come on what?
Come on and put your name on the dotted line.
I got to be particular what I sign.
It's just a piece of paper.
Just a piece of paper, that's what you say.
Come on and put your signature on the list.
It looks to have a very subversive twist.
How silly to assume it. Won't you nom de plume it today? You're so skittish. Who possibly could care if you do?
The Un-British Activities Committee. That's who.
Let's have a little drinko and fill the quill.
It sounds a little pinko to me, but still.
Knock off the timid manner if you want a banner to raise.
Banner to raise.
You must take,
I must take
a stand,
a stand
for this brave,
for this brave
new land,
new land.
For
who wants
to live,
to live.
So concerned,
so concerned,
but
if I don't dis,
he don't dis,
agree,
agree.
But a man can't be too careful what he signs these days. I sign it, will you renew your subscription?
Yeah, if you promise not to keep throwing it on the roof.
Well, my...
If it isn't on the roof, it's in the rose bushes or in the mud.
My eyesight isn't what it used to be, you know. Besides, it's hard to hit the porch from a horse.
Now, come on. All we want to do is hold a few truths to be self-evident.
You're sure it's not going to start a revolution or anything?
Trust me.
Okay, give it to me. You got a quill on you?
Here you go.
All right. Look at that show-off Hancock, will you? Pretty flamboyant signature for an insurance man.
Ah, you did a good thing, Ben. You won't be sorry. Now, if I can just get another three or four guys, we'll be all set.
Well, I tell you one thing.
What's that?
You better get them to sign it in the next couple of days before they all take off for the 4th of July weekend.
So that was Stan Freberg, Stan Freberg Presents USA, Volume 1, and his little completely inaccurate historical skit about the Declaration of Independence and how it was signed and whatever. Obviously, there was a, you know, Continental Congress, a group of them went over and over and discussed time and time again and made revisions on Thomas Jefferson's original document. But it was his originally, and but this was just a little bit of fun with all of that, making Ben Franklin a little uncertain because, gee, this could start a revolution. Oh my gosh! And then, of course, at the end, they make that joke about you got to get it signed because this is the 4th of July weekend. A lot of people are going out of town. Of course, there was no 4th of July until this document was signed on the 4th of July. So, I mean, that's the joke there. If you knew that much, you know, no, nobody would be going out of town for that 4th of July weekend because 4th of July hadn't happened yet, hadn't become the significant birthday of the United States of America. Oh, my
Transportation
goodness.
Was a little archaic as well. I mean,
right. It's also another clever or ironic comment. He said, can I just keep this for a while, and I'll send it to you in the mail? And, of course, who started the postal service in the U.S.?
Ben Franklin.
Yeah. That's right. Yep. So he should know about postal service. Maybe it was faster in those days, too. And, you know, Pony Express and all that. I don't know. Maybe not. Okay, so this is the new WHFR Journal. Jay and John.
Kind of dependent on the price of oats,
here with
Jay.
You? Oh, yes, of course. We're still looking at news. And just real quick, because I'm going to turn over to John because he's got a number of stories here. But I saw the story about dry conditions. I know it rained last night, folks, but it was after a long drought. And so it's not a lot of water, and by Sunday again, when it's legal in Dearborn for you to set off fireworks, Dearborn's fire chief, Joseph Murray, has issued a statement just late yesterday to all of you that don't ignite fireworks due to dry conditions. And it probably will be dry again by this Sunday. They don't expect any more rain. Fireworks can easily catch dry brush and grass on fire. And the Michigan State Department of Natural Resources designated southeastern Michigan as being in, quote, in extreme fire danger. Mm-hmm. Now, the state hasn't made any rulings about that, but there are some areas, I think up in Oakland County, whatever, where the city said no personal fireworks, which means no sparklers even. But Dearborn here is only recommending not for individuals to not ignite fireworks due to dry conditions. John, what about downriver? What have you heard about fireworks regulations downriver?
Well, this season there's been a fire regulators just came out saying no, there will be no fireworks display at Trenton, which is normally a huge fireworks display, where cities and or folks from two or three or four different towns can watch those fireworks. That won't be happening. And there's a festival this weekend at the Gros Isle Yacht Club that won't be shooting fireworks off. Gibraltar will not have their fireworks display. They will. There will be a parade in both Wyandotte and Gibraltar for the 4th of July festivities. But
on Monday, okay.
Right, mm-hmm. right. But the fireworks have been drastically cut back as far as the cities go.
Mm-hmm. Well, they set off the biggest fireworks. I mean, there's the biggest potential. Although usually those displays are done by professional fireworks companies under contract, and so they were just about as careful as they can get. But still, their fireworks that they set off are big ones, and so there's always a chance they might misfire somehow and land in an area that might start burning.
Or a little spark can create a lot of damage.
That's why even individuals with sparklers can cause fires. Yep. If put next to something that's able to be caught on fire, it will catch on fire from even a sparkler. So be careful of that sort of stuff, folks. And for my sake, please, nothing that explodes and makes a lot of noise. I don't like those.
No.
I hate to say it, but this is one of those good old days stories from somebody who's very old. In the 50s and 60s, when I was growing up and my parents took me to fireworks displays, they were quiet, except for little pops when the fireworks separated in the sky so that you'd see the beautiful colors mm-hmm. coming down and coming around and shooting out and so on. But there wasn't any that went up and went, boom, boom. There wasn't the big bang boom ones. And some people, I guess, love those. I can't stand them. I just think that's... But I talk about honoring the 4th of July or the battles in the Revolutionary War. There was a lot of big boom explosions in the Revolutionary War, but I would rather do it quietly rather than disturbing my poor scared cat. And a lot of dogs freak out, too. There's an article in Press and Guide that's coming up about every year about how to comfort your pets.
Yes.
The pets are not upset by the pretty colors in the sky. They're upset by the boom.
The sounds.
The bangs.
Yep.
And I think they're dangerous in a number of ways because somebody might be doing something, I don't know, with a sharp yard tool. And I know in the middle of the night, probably not. But, and then all of a sudden something goes off in their neighborhood that they don't expect, like boom, and all of a sudden... they have an accident because they were shocked. They, the knife slipped out of their hand when they heard the boom, and then they hurt themselves or someone else. And so the pretty colors in the sky, I think that's wonderful. So, okay.
But the sounds also, the sounds of the season, and I'm thinking of the Greenfield Village program this weekend.
Yeah.
Do you know if they'll still have their fireworks display there?
Every night.
Well,
10 p.m. Believe me, because I hear them every night, and my cat's freaked out every night.
But they have their show is terrific. The whole weekend show that they do with the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra and the United States Army Field Band, Concert Band, and the Soldiers Chorus. Okay, the traditional grand finale in this setup is going to be the DSO performing Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture, and it's going to feature actual cannon fire, followed by fireworks accompanied by patriotic selections. Tickets will include access to Take Me Home, Huey, a mixed-media sculpture created by Steve Maloney from the remains of a historic U.S. Army Huey helicopter that was downed in 1969 during a medical rescue in Vietnam. Also, I wanted to speak a little bit about the Wyandotte Parade. We will have the parade will be on Monday, and we'll have singers Eva Evola and baritone Dino Valle of the Bellini Opera Theater will sing patriotic songs, including the Star Spangled Banner and the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Ooh. And they get to travel in a vintage Rolls Royce while they're going down that parade. And this parade begins at 10 a.m. at Northline and Biddle and continues to Eureka. It lasts for 2 hours and often draws participants from more than 100 marching troops. 400 would be a real story, wouldn't it?
Wow. Gee.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine there's that many people left in town. But if you can't get out of town, go to that parade.
That's
sounds like
sure.
It might be fun.
Yep.
Okay. back to my side, I guess. Okay. There's a couple things to remind you of here. Here's a couple stories from last Sunday's Press and Guide. And I think I gave my opinion on several things in the last half hour or 40 minutes. So let me just state that all opinions on this show are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford College, faculty, staff, administrators, or anyone else, students. Thank you to the college administration for letting us try to be somewhat fair and entertaining and challenging people's minds to think for themselves. Don't necessarily believe what we have to say, but if we do either upset you or confuse you or whatever, do some research. Look it up for yourself and talk to your friends and read a book or a couple of articles or something and see where you stand on it. That's what we're here for, trying to be open-minded, but also giving you some ideas. Well, something that happened in Ramadan, by the way, this is about Ramadan story. Ramadan ends on July 5th this year. So I'm sure a lot of Muslims are looking forward to being able to drink water even as well as eat during the day starting on Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm not sure if it ends Tuesday evening or whatever, but it says it runs through July 5th, so maybe July 6th is the time that it's actually over with. But the city of Dearborn has extended hours at hookah lounges during Ramadan. And I know we missed out on that, John, because I didn't mention it here, but I don't partake of hookah smoking. But here's the story, just kind of interesting. No criticism about this, but with the Islamic holy month of Ramadan underway, city has taken a step to accommodate the change in many Muslims' lifestyles. All the way through July 5th, Muslims are prohibited from drinking, eating, and smoking from sunrise to sunset, so many adjust their schedules, staying up later to break their fast and visit with family and friends. Because Islam forbids drinking alcohol, hookah lounges often are the night spot of choice for many Muslims. To allow for socializing in the later hours, the Dearborn City Council voted in May to extend the hours of some hookah lounges in the city by 2 hours during Ramadan. Normally, smoking is allowed until midnight inside the lounges and until 2 a.m. Outside the lounges until 2 a.m. Inside the lounges. So the change extends those hours until 2 a.m. outside and 4 a.m. inside during the holiday. The only issue I have for that, for people that are respecting and practicing their religious convictions through there, is when do they sleep? If they go and have the big meal after 9:15 at night when sun sets approximately these days, and then they stay up smoking the hookah until 4 in the morning, they have to get up and pray and stop eating at 5 or so when the sun rises. It gives them an hour to sleep. I don't understand how you can pull that off. But then again, a lot of things I don't understand, like how can people survive from 5 a.m. to 9 o'clock at night without even drinking water? Now, of course, if you have health issues, you know, you're not going to die or something necessarily from following this, but for a whole month, it's a pretty tough discipline that's required here. And if it helps you be a better human being to other human beings, I'm all for it personally. So I'm not saying anything against that. But apparently there were some requests that hookah lounges could stay open an extra 2 hours, because if you can't drink alcohol, at least you can smoke that pipe. Yeah. So, see, Dearborn tries to accommodate all of its residents. See? Yeah. The city council is responsive. Nice to hear, huh? Okay. Although, I'm not sure about what we know about healthiness of smoking hookah.
Hookah smoking, yeah.
It is tobacco-based, sort of, isn't it? Okay, let's just leave it there, John.
I'm not a smoker at all.
Yeah, we're not experts because we don't do it. Yeah. In Hines Park renovations, this is also in last Sunday's Press and Guide, Hines Park renovations are among 17 projects planned this summer. They're going to spend $3.75 million countywide because it's the time to work on the parks. You can't do it when they're covered with snow and ice, of course. And so the Wayne County has announced this throughout its park county system. And by the way, $1.25 million of that will be allocated by cities and townships where parks are located. So altogether, it's $3.75 million. Hines Park itself spans more than 17 miles through communities including Dearborn Heights, Northville, Plymouth, Livonia, and Westland. Its 25 separate segments include soccer fields, baseball diamonds, playgrounds, picnic areas, and restrooms, as well as a non-motorized path the length of the park that is used for walking, jogging, and bicycling. I didn't even know that. I guess I don't get out much. Several projects will be completed at the park over the summer. And just so you know, folks, you know, a renewal of support for the parks is coming up on the April 2nd ballot. So it's not just a primary election. It's not just there's actually at least three and I think a fourth ballot proposal in Dearborn. That fourth one in Dearborn is the renewal of the supplemental millage from 2011.
That's the August 2nd, Jay.
August 2nd. What did I say?
April.
Oh, April.
That was a while ago.
That's why you're here, John. Okay. Got to keep it straight, or we'll get email. You know that, right? And so, by all means, you know, there's a lot on that ballot that is very important renewal. And as I mentioned a couple of years ago, the Regional Transit Authority. There was a great story about that major public transit plan. It's taken them 4 years after the RTA was formed to, you know, get it all coordinated and get it all together. And the funding for that, which would last, I don't know, for a decade or more, I think. It's not just the M1 rail, but a complete plan for buses and everything. And in fact, they think 67,000 jobs would be supported if this millage passes. 67,000 jobs in this area. And I'm not sure if they're directly working for MDOT, the Michigan Department of Transportation, or the RTA, or maybe hiring people along the bus routes or the train routes, you know, for maintenance or, I don't know, security or whatever. So this is a really big plan, and it is a regional plan, which is the best way to go here. We've never done this before. But it's a $1.2 million millage increase. That means an increase in property tax by an average of about $8 a month or $95 a year. And Brian Stone, there's that name again, candidate for state representative in the 15th district, he urged people to support the millage in a recent Facebook post. He says the $12 a month that it will cost someone owning a $200,000 home will easily pay itself back in lower car insurance rates. By getting uninsured drivers off the road and reducing rates, in other words, letting them take the bus or the trains, people who don't use mass transit will still benefit. Also, mass transit systems are proven to raise property values. People want to move into the Detroit area. Wherever you have a job, you can get transportation there. Now, the total plan will take a couple more years to get everything in place, but this is a very, you know, smart way to go. It's a good plan, and a couple of the projects, the bigger ones, won't be done until 2026, but they'll start getting a couple done by 2018. By the way, one part of the plan will be done by 2018 is an improved bus service on Greenfield Road, that goes through Dearborn, which would start at the John D. Dingell Transit Center, our train station here in Dearborn, Michigan Avenue, West Dearborn, and end in Troy. And so that'll be a bus up and down with stops along the way. That's a heck of a route. Okay, but it doesn't exist right now, and that'll be completed by 2018. And so most of it will be done in 10 years. So that's 2026.
Yep.
And but most of it, it says the bulk of it will be, all of it will be done in the first 10 years, but most of it will be done in the first 5 years. So that's 2021, 2022. So, but I've heard already a lot of people, I don't want to pay more taxes. And unfortunately, on the August 2nd ballot, I got it right this time, they're going to ask for renewal of millage to support DAZU, as Mayor Coleman Young used to call it, DAZU, the Detroit Zoo, which is a wonderful facility and has all kinds of new exhibits, and it's just great for the animals that they have there. Yes, they're still in prison, technically, but I'm just saying it's a very... It's a big areas, and they're treated really well, and including the winter animals, which is the seals, walrus, all
penguins.
Penguins, right. Yep. They've renovated those facilities, too, that are just fantastic. And you can see those, go into those year-round. I haven't been there recently, but my daughter and my granddaughter have gone out there usually a couple times a year. It's just fantastic. So I think that deserves, that's my humble opinion, your consideration. Mm-hmm. But there's the RTA, there's the zoo, and there's something for Wayne County other than that, too. Do you know what it is?
No. I have something else.
Well, it'll come to me. Okay. But then there's the City of Dearborn renewal of that supplemental millage. In order to keep the city budget going, it has to raise about $18 million because when that expires this year, what are they going to do in Dearborn? So that's a crisis situation right there. And I only knew about it 2 weeks ago that it was going to be on the ballot, and still there's been no press release from the City of Dearborn that they put it on the ballot way back in April 21st. City Council had a special meeting where apparently there was no reporters, and they said, yep, we want to get it renewed, we'll put it on the ballot. And in a way, it's a no-brainer because it's going to expire and they need the money. But in the budget proposal, which hasn't been, well, I guess they had to endorse it already because it starts now, July 1st.
Right.
So they must have passed that this last week. But even in the budget proposal, it says that extension of the millage is presumed, but it's not definite. There was some phrase there that was like that. It was assumed that, well, assumed, duh, back on April 21st, they made it happen. So it's not just presumed, it's going to be there in August on the ballot. So you need to decide, people of Dearborn. But there's three for the millages in Wayne County, too. Go ahead, John.
Okay, Jay. Recreationally speaking, we have our concert on the Commons on Grosse Hill on Sundays from 7 to 8, 8:30. And this Sunday we have Benny of the Jets performing. Yeah. He should. I know he'll do a great show, and I've become friends with him, and it should be a lot of fun. Come on, come on out and enjoy.
And anyone who's a friend of John's is a friend of all of us.
Is a friend of all.
Because he knows everybody, and they're good people too. So there you go.
He's just gonna. He'll put on a great show, and the weather should be great this weekend as well. Mm-hmm. I participated yesterday, Jay, in a program called Drum Beats on the River.
Okay.
And this is a Drum Beats on the River as Club Empowerment, part of the Downriver Community Fit Club, offers cardiopulmonary or cardio drumming, and it was at Bishop Park in Wyandotte. The workouts run from 6:30 to 7:45 Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and 3 to 4:15 Sunday. And I tell you what, it was a blast. And a lot of people were there and got a lot of good exercise. And they have these large round balls that people have sticks, and they beat these balls with the sticks as they're running in place or they're moving in place to the beat.
They're about 3 foot diameter
of
each of
the music playing. Yes, okay, yeah. Yes, and they have leaders, going through whatever exercise.
I wonder if they
have
something like that at Dearborn Homecoming, because that's pretty unique. I've never seen that before. Never heard of that.
It was perfect night for it, right on the riverfront there, and
beat those balls, folks. I'm sorry.
But
musical balls.
And the Riverside, they're only $5 each, and well worth it. And the people really got into it, so that was great.
Okay, we're coming up in a couple of minutes to the end of our show. My, how time flies. Never enough time for all the news. I know Kitty Love says never enough time for all the great blues music, too. But her show is coming up in, again, 3 minutes. Here on WHFR.FM, the station making waves, and we'll continue to 4 o'clock when Mike Holloway continues with more blues. Blues after blues after blues. We've got so many great local blues musicians and national blues musicians that don't get played on other stations. And it's really, really unfortunate, but that's why WHFR is here. That's right. Oh, Tom Wilson is in for Mike Holloway today. Thank you, Kitty Love, writing me notes here. And because I guess Mike has gone out of town, so I hope he's watching his driving out there. And if you haven't left Dearborn yet, be careful of that driving. There's a lot of people on the roads that haven't driven for a while, or they've never driven those particular roads that you're also going on. So, you know, remember, it could be a little more challenging than just driving to work every day. So we want you to get where you're going, have fun, and get back intact. Is that the tacky way to say it? Okay. Just a couple final things. There's we had that 30-minute interview with 15th District Republican candidate Paul Safaya, and there's a full story on the Arab American News website, ArabAmericanNews.com, as well as, of course, it'll be in the print edition tomorrow about him. He was got the endorsement as a Republican from the APAC, that's Arab American Political Action Committee. And in fact, he was in my neighborhood when I was out trying to get some grass seed in patches that have died because of the drought. And actually, so I saw him, I think, on Tuesday walking by distributing flyers. I said, "I already got yours, Paul." And he didn't quite recognize me in my work clothes. But if you want to listen to that interview, it's preserved on our website, and it's from last week, 624, WHFR.FM. Just two other reminders. We're going to be down at Concert of Colors for the weekend of the 16th and the 17th, July 16th and 17th, for all the music and things there. They just announced that Don Was is going to again bring together an all-star Detroit review of Detroit musicians. We love Detroit musicians here on this station. And they're going to actually perform the 10 greatest songs according to the Detroit Free Press list of Detroit's 100 greatest songs poll they did, I guess, recently. And that's going to be at 8 p.m. on Saturday, June 16th. But it's going to be a great weekend at the Maxim Fisher concert facility, which includes Orchestra Hall and also the Music Box stage, where we'll be broadcasting live on that Saturday and Sunday over the airwaves, too. But come on down. It's free. Free entertainment. Great fun. There is food and beverages that you can buy. There's indoor and outdoor performances, but if it's very, very hot, you just stay indoors. You got two stages to choose from, including the Don Was review, and that's on the Saturday night, the 16th, starting at 8 p.m. Last but not least on my list, and maybe John has something else, Dearborn Candidate Forum. I know John and I are going to try to get there. A week from Tuesday, July 12th, 6 to 9 p.m., City Council Chambers, Dearborn Administrative Center, Michigan Avenue in Dearborn. Now, it's going to be taped by CDTV and streamed on the city's website, cityofdearborn.org. But 6 o'clock to 6:30, they're going to talk about all those ballot proposals. Yep. The third one from the county that I can't remember right now. 6:30, they're going to give a whole hour to three candidates who are running for the 19th District Court judicial or judgeship, if you will, on the August 2nd ballot. And at 7:30 p.m. till 9 o'clock, 90 minutes for all the candidates who show up who are running for 15th District State Representative. And that's six Democrats supposedly on the ballot and three Republicans. So we'll see if all nine of them show up. They'll only get 10 minutes each. But we're going to do our job. And starting on the 15th again, we'll have another candidate giving him 30 minutes, and it'll be Brian Stone. Mm-hmm. The week after that, Roxanne McDonald.
Very good.
I think she's on the 22nd. Okay. Is there someone on the 29th, John?
We have somebody. I can't think of who they are at the moment.
Uh-oh. We've got to go. Kitty Love's got to get her blues started. Yes. Okay. Abdullah Hamoud on the 29th. He'll get his 30 minutes of fame here on WHFR. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for coming in, John.
Yes.
All the way from Grosse Isle.
Yep.
He's our long-distance reporter from Downriver. And now it's time for Highway 61 with Kitty Love. Take care out there. This is WHFR, Dearborn.